Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello everyone, welcome to this new episode of the Partido a Partido podcast, where we talk everything about Atleti. So on today's episode, we are going to be talking about Atleti's loss to Barcelona, where Atleti are breaking all the kind of wrong records. We know a Diego Simeone team has set so many defensive records, from them conceding about 16 goals in the league season to going to conceding 30 goals in just 22 games. And basically, they conceded 4 goals against FC Barcelona, which was the first time since 2012. And it was also against Barcelona, the Camp Nou, which ended 4-1. This Atleti have already lost 6 games this season, and they just need 3 more to surpass, which is 8 games. That's the highest games Atleti have lost in a single season under Diego Simeone. It's also the first time Oblak has conceded 4 goals in a league. And we all know Cholo's teams have been defensively good, but well, this season, Atleti have been more of chaotic, basically lost, don't know what to do. So, joining me on the podcast to talk about this is Luke. Luke, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm better. If we would have at least got something out of that match, but overall, I'm feeling okay. How are you?
And I'm doing better than Atleti. So, and we have a special guest for this episode, and it is Juan. I think most of you guys know him on Twitter as El Juego de Posición. So, how are you doing, Juan?
I'm doing quite good, especially with that victory, but generally, it's been going pretty well.
Well, I'm sure you are all smiles, given your team just beat Atleti at the Camp Nou, which is not a surprise for you, given Atleti have not won there since 2006. So, I'm just going to give a quick round of the game. After we took the lead, defensive mistake from a lot of players, which has been a theme of Atleti season, and Alba scored one of the big goals of the season as the ball hit his shin and Oblak was left dumbfounded. And after that, another defensive mistake, and Traore, well, that game really left him also for dead on so many occasions. It was just astounding, a good debut for him, returning back as Barcelona signing the winter transfer window from Wolverhampton Wanderers, putting the ball. And from there on, Atleti just looked lost because 4-2 with 15 minutes to play against 10-man Barcelona, Atleti could not find a way to come back. And that ended in their feed away game. That's the feed away games now for Atleti, and they haven't won a single of it. And basically, if you go back to it, you know, they just have one win in 4, which was the roller coaster against Valencia. So I'm going to start with Juan. Juan, in that game, what do you think Atleti did bad and Barcelona did right? Because it was basically a game of 2 halves, Barcelona dominating the first, and you have the second half in which Atleti kind of grew into it, and then the red card just made it still.
I would say that what Barcelona did for sure right. They ticked a lot of boxes in the first half, but I would say for most to have complementary profiles. So you had, for example, players between the lines like Pedri, Gavi, Frankie, Ferran at times as well, though less present. And then you had direct threats like Alba and Adama. And later in the second half, there was Aubameyang as well, who showed promising signs. For Atleti, it's a bit harder, you know, to put what they properly did right. But I would say that the rare times where they actually got outside in the first half, they actually managed to for example, in the first goal of Carrasco, you can see that they still have that sort of directness, you know, that can show they can coordinate very well. Simply, that did not happen often enough. And then for the second half, they improved, partly because of themselves, but partly also because Barcelona slowed down. And I think they were on the right track after scoring the first goal on, you know, taking it back, on running it tense. And then there was, of course, the red card, who pretty much changed the course of the game. And Atleti should have, you know, to my sense at least, pushed Barcelona more, and they did to an extent, but that's the thing they need to work on. But then overall, it's far from an ideal structure we saw yesterday.
Well, you talked about the fact that Barcelona did quite well. You had the players linking up and quality, try to give a little bit of positivity, but I'm not sure most Atleti fans will see much positivity in that performance. But talking about Xavi has been at Barcelona for a while now, and well, that game was basically one of his best games at Barcelona because it was against a rival for top four and a tougher opponent, despite the fact that they are struggling. They are the league champions. Let's not forget that they won La Liga last season. You could see his team did very well in limiting Atleti's threat on the counter, especially after Alba equalizer. They kept on pressing, piling the pressure of Atleti, suffocating Atleti, forcing Atleti into errors. Well, Atleti kind of made things easier for them with their defensive Porosho, you have Hermoso, well, as topic for later on the podcast. But credit to Xavi's Barcelona for really doing that despite the fact that Atleti has some mistakes. So, what's your thought on that game? And do you think, what are the things you thought Barcelona did very well and Atleti did poor?
Well, I think looking at both the teams, I think they were poor, both of them were poor defensively. But I think it just only showed when they had the ball that we looked completely hideous. They were just much way better than we were. I'm saying when we first scored a goal, beforehand we were playing so direct. I'm saying that a while, and like that's still at the idea, like that nice sharp pass, and I was like, you know, this could be a great game. And then we can see it, and it's like, it's going to be one of those games. And we crumble. So, I think that, well, Barca with their midfield completely blocking out our midfield, basically. And we have Hermoso, who's just, I can't stand him, getting absolutely spun out by Adama. It's not even funny anymore. Don't know why he's still employed by this club. It's absolutely insane. Again, once again, we've seen some poor performance. I think from All Black, we can't blame all the goals on him, but there was definitely, I'm not sure which goal it was. I think it was the second one. Oh no, that's Albus. I think the first one he should have done a little bit better. We're just like we have been every game. It's just we have to concede before we actually, well, we actually didn't concede, but I've seen Savage there saying we can't start playing when we concede. I've seen Koke Saul saying that before, and I don't know what to say.
Well, I think you touched on Atleti's midfield and the fact that Barcelona's midfield were better. That's where Atleti really lost the game, because Atleti's midfield was kind of lost. It was later on in the second half where Cholo made some changes, and you could see Atleti coming into life, and Atleti were growing into the game, and there was a little bit of positivity. But that's been Atleti. That's another team which been Atleti season. I think we have been kind of redundant on the podcast talking about the issues, same mistakes. Atleti not being able to control games, Atleti making mistakes here and there. The tactics are not clear, the game plan, identity. These are things we have been seeing, well, every week, and the players keep on repeating this. But one of the things, if you want to control a game, I think Juan is going to agree with me on this. You have to have, your midfield has to be solid. You need someone who can allow you to maybe press high with someone who can stop the opposition team from passing the ball, flowing. I think Aleti has lacked that. For example, Gabi, we had Rogi, Thomas. Since those players left, Aleti has not really had that. We brought in Kondombia to maybe assure things, or the injuries have been limiting. So, Juan, what's your thought on Aleti's midfield?
I'd say that I'll definitely agree with you. And whenever you look at a team, there's how they use the midfield will usually tell what they're good at and what they're bad at. Because every attack and every transition pretty much goes through the midfield. And in the case of Atleti, it's a bit odd because firstly, for example, you had Saúl, who used to be very good, and the last season hasn't found himself. Koke used to be very good as well, but this season he hasn't been that good. And it's a bit odd because if you look at it's not like Atletico Madrid don't have any midfielders. Because if you look at Kondogbia, if you look at Lemar, if you look at before assisted Koke, you have a lot of midfield talents, and there's RDP as well, while we're talking about him. So I guess it's more that there's this, what I've said a lot on Twitter, but it's there's an identity crisis, and is what do I do now? Given that, as you said earlier, Atleti have relied, on a strong defense, and also that El Cholo pretty much built his reputation on. And suddenly now, we already saw that during last season, despite the title, that we weren't sure where they were going, because we know that the title-winning team was not the one, with the strong defense like in 2016. And we saw that yesterday, for example, with Edmozo, pretty much and defending from the wings, that was horrific. And so the question, of course, is how do Atleti now get an identity? Because either you try to build from the past, and that means, for example, trying to build on a strong defense, but then there's going to be massive expenditure needed to get proper defenders, or you have to build a proper identity, a new one. And that probably means that Simeone has to go out. So these are questions that Atleti need to answer, their directives, and then see, accordingly transfer the managers out eventually, but also the players.
Well, you just touched an important aspect about the players. We talked about this for a while now on the podcast, about the fact that one of the issues of Atleti this season, and it was overlooked by many, was the squad planning at the beginning of the season. And in which the squad is unbalanced. You have so many attacking players. Atleti are basically the team with the most second strikers in the league. But you look at the defense, a team who has been playing three at the back. We have those four options, and two of the best of those four have been out injured. And also, is the tactics Cholo is using, which normally for every coach is supposed to bring the best out of each player, is those tactics, are they bringing out the best of the players or the worst of the player? Because last season we saw him also, when he switched the tactics, we saw the best of Felix from August to December. We saw the best of Lemar. We saw the best of him also. But this season, playing him also out wide, and it's not just season. Him also's first season at Atleti, when he played at the left back in the game against Valencia, Ferran Torres had him on the ropes for 90 minutes. I mean, each time Ferran has the ball and it's in a 1v1 situation with Hermoso, you get Hermoso, it's as if there's only going to be one winner. So, is the tactics Cholo using bringing out the best or bringing out the worst of the players? Because we just talked about the identity crisis.
I would say that no, not exactly. I mean, it's a hard question because the problem is it depends to what extent it's viable. As you said, for example, we've seen Felix, who's whenever he has the ball, and even to some extent yesterday, some of the chances he created, you can see his quality in possession. Now, the problem is that Atletico are not known for having possession. And on, I think it was the second goal of Barca yesterday, you can see Felix, who's not defending properly his marker, which gives free space for Barca to operate with the header. And that, to me, the question is, of course, firstly, as you said, the squad is unbalanced because Atleti have really so many attacking talents this season. RDP, Cunha, Felix, as you said, Correa, for example, that we will talk about later, that it's hard to put them at once. And what for sure, for example, is that personally, at least, I don't see the absolute starter spot of Suarez justified, especially when you drop Correa, for example, for him. Because the fact is that, yes, Suarez, for example, will score you one goal, but to my sense, he should always be a substitute. That's the first thing. And second thing to answer, you know, does it really benefit most? I don't think so. I feel that a lot of players that are performing not too bad could perform well, way better. So, of course, that includes, for example, Saul. I'm convinced that under the right possession system, he could gain back his form. Koke, for example, as I said, last season was an absolute banger in terms of form, and this season has been pretty poor. And for example, the other problem is with Oblak, for example, because as you probably know, he's having one of his worst seasons ever in terms of, you know, saves. And the fact to me is that one of the aspects of why he's performing so badly is because the defense has changed immensely. You have now a defense that is way more leaky. And of course, it means it's more work for Oblak, which he isn't used to, given the past 5 years, more or less. So I would say that until last season, he did a 12, for example, with Llorente, with Trippier, for example, who left. He did it wonderfully, but I don't think that this season has been, because I don't know if he requested those signings or if he requested signings that weren't signed. But in either case, I don't think that the squad he has right now fits his ideas. Whether it may be because it's unbalanced or because he didn't want some players, as I said, I'm not aware. But I definitely think that other managers could do something more with it. I'm notably thinking of Kondogbia, for example, who's great, but I still think he can do better. I'm thinking of Lodi, for example, who has his moments, but I still believe that transition-wise, he can still be amazing. And so these are questions, of course, as I said, it all depends on the identity. And it depends whether you want them in or not. But that has to be, to me, in a coordination with the manager's wishes and ideas.
Well, I agree on all what you have said. And through there are a lot of underperforming players. And you just mentioned all of them. Lodi, Kondogbia, even Captain Koke. You also have a lot of players who are underperforming. And in my own opinion, I think despite the fact that these players are underperforming, and it's clearly hurting the team. But in my opinion, if with a clear idea of how the team wants to play, I think these players, they perform a little bit better. You also talked about the fact that most of the players are not really suited for Cholo Simeone, and I agree with that. Not only most, but some. You have the guys like Hermoso, Hector Herrera. There are quite a number of them who are not really suited for Cholo Simeone. And now the question comes in, these signings, were they his signings or the club signed them without informing him? All these questions are coming about. But, well, at Atleti, we all know that you have three options and most of the time the club ends up getting the third choice. And that's been the case for several seasons now. The club, despite the fact that Cholo has done an amazing job, I think most of the outsiders don't really know the magic he has been doing at Atleti because the owners are not really ones to be trusted. Because you can get, like, for example, you are asking for Vlahovic and the next day, get, say, Morata. No issues with him, but that's Atleti's reality. And despite the fact they have gotten lots of things right in the past in the transfer market, recently it has not really been great and Bata really messed up this summer. So coming back to the fact we talk about Suarez, with Suarez in the team, he has really been awful. I think the game against Barcelona was probably one of his best games this season. With him in the team, Atleti has to play a little bit higher up the pitch, play closer to the box. But him starting is not justified because you have Alex's best striker on the bench, which is Correa. And each time he comes on, he does things that wow the teams, improve the team. And you also have Cunha. Lot of factors affecting Alexi at the moment. I think you have touched a lot of them. We don't really know the details and how what is going on in dressing room, what Simeone demands from the player. But with the current breed of player he has, I think we all agree that most of them are suited to the position-based style. That means Atleti having more of the ball, playing a little bit higher up the pitch. Because, to be honest, having someone like Felix tracking back all the time is not really his game. But well, he has to do that if he wants to start games Ability, given Cholo always demands that from his players. But that's not really his game. Lots of players at Ability, you have him also exposing him 1v1 with someone like Adama Traore really hurts him. I think it's a similar situation to someone like Eric Garcia at Barcelona, in which he's a very good player, but a player who thrives under certain conditions and certain environment. So I think Cholo has to study his players, know the strengths of, I think he already knows that, but he has to do what he did last season from January to December. Look for the right recipe that is going to mix all those ingredients which are the players together, and us the fans can see our team playing, because Atleti fans don't mind if the team sits behind for 20, is it even more than 20 minutes, but they want to see that fighting spirit. That is something that has been lacking in the team this season. But over the season, as we talked in previous episodes, the defense have been really going bad, and that has affected Oblak's performance this season, because he really looks lost. He looks like he's not looking like himself, self-confidence and the rest. So at the moment, you are asking Atleti against Villarreal control the game for like 15 to 30 minutes, and Villarreal like, wow, this is what they are capable of. And against Barcelona, you have 15 minutes, you had those spells, and you keep on saying yourself, what if this team plays like this for 60 minutes in 90? Why can they not play like that from the onset, and the answer is not really coming? So look, on the same question I'm going to ask you, do you think Atleti needs to maybe move away from Cholo Simo? When I say Cholo Simo, I'm not saying moving away from Cholo, but Cholo needs to take a more courageous approach. Like we talked about his approach in the Copa del Rey against Rayo Majandahora, I think I pronounced it right this time. And Atleti were really cruising with Kondogbia at the anchor, and Kondogbia just came back from injury, which can be good news, because we need a defensive anchor to maybe play that high intensive football, someone who can break up the game or retain possession for Atleti.
I think we should, why not play like that? We've obviously seen that's the best letter we say when play, as you said, against Villarreal last 20 minutes, and then so that odd 15 minutes that we had where we were playing, we were actually playing. Don't understand what Charlo's doing there. Like, he's making, I was heavily harsh criticizing him last night. He made a big mistake, a big mistake in choosing him also, but that's another topic. But why can't we not play like that direct? And like, even start the match, we were playing direct. That's how we got our goal. It's not like we don't have the players for it, because we obviously do. Now, I mean, like, we're missing a few players, but I don't think we should be. We're missing any key players. Or we can say Llorente, but we have absolutely no excuse for the way we're playing. And it's nothing to do with the players we're missing. We should be playing better than we should. With the players that we have on the pitch, just absolutely no excuse. And I don't know if it's a mentality issue with the players, or it's Cholo's fault, or it's a bit mix of both, which I probably think it's a mix of both. But we need to play with intensity, with a bit of cojones. That's it.
Well, I think what you just said is summarizes Atleti are a team without intensity. Atleti are a game state team, a team who are reactive. They wait for the opponent to call them or maybe go a goal or two down before they react. And you are like asking, where is that intensity from? So before we move on to Korea, I'm going to just maybe clarify some things, certain misconceptions on Twitter for Atleti fans. Atleti's, you look at Atleti's statistics this season, like the XG and whatever, you see Atleti are conceding more goals than they should have. They are scoring less than they should have. The issue is, I think, against Barcelona, Atleti had a better XG than Barcelona. That was due to the fact that Atleti had quality chances, but to be honest, if you watch the game for 90 minutes, you really know Atleti, Barcelona deserved to have scored four, not just four goals, but maybe five or six. So, with the XG, is really misleading, because the XG are not saying how Atleti has been performing this season, which that is a flaw in that statistic. So, basically, before maybe you use the stats to prove a point or whatever, maybe you should put in the context, because the XG are not really, really saying what is ongoing at Atleti. Yes, it's like, for example, Atleti may create, let me say, three good chances, and the XG may, of each of those chances may be around 0.8. And if you do the math, you see that it is quite That's 2.4, and maybe another team creates an XG of 0.5, and they create like 4 or whatever. So it is all about the context. So moving on to Korea now, I'm going to start with you, Luke, because I know definitely he's your best player. What does Korea need to do to start at Athletic? Because he's definitely Athletic's best striker this season. His consistency is there, his hard work, everything. When he's on the pitch, he makes things happen.
I don't think he's doing anything wrong. I'm sure Charles knows that. Obviously, he's our top scorer. So there's nothing there. Now, there was controversy when the lineup came up and he wasn't there. I wasn't disappointed at all. I thought maybe that's a good choice. Because if the first half played all right, he could bring Correa on. He's 100%, while all the other players have already played 45 minutes. He's lethal. His individual skill, he can create chances for himself and it make for a comfortable match. I think sometimes that Correa, when he starts games, he gets lost in the field. You barely see him for the game. I think that's what Cholo's mentality was with that. But otherwise, there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't stay.
Well, so many Athletic fans always ask the question, why doesn't he start? And like you said, there's absolutely no reason. You can't really understand the logic why he's not starting. So, Juan, I'm going to ask you now, is it Korea or Felix or Korea or Suarez or both of them can play in the same Athletic or start in the same Athletic team? Because at the moment, it seems like Cholo is not... He has started them, I think, against Athletic Bilbao, in which it was good, but it didn't pay off. And the same thing against Real Sociedad, which it did not pay off. And that was not due to... It was not really their fault, but it was down to the fact Athletic were playing long balls. And when you check the stats, when Athletic play with Korea and Felix up front, when balls are sent into the box, Athletic have a lot less men present in the penalty box. Is that maybe a reason for him not starting, or is Cholo saying Felix is 120 million and, well, you have always been there and blah, blah, blah?
I'm not sure, and that's a question I've asked myself pretty much all season. And I think there's some fact in this. It's, of course, natural that there's less box presence because it's hard to have more box presence than Suarez. But with that said, as I mentioned before, I don't think anyone actually thinks that Suarez should be a guaranteed starter, simply because I assumed that he'd continue this season as a super sub, because that's what would make most sense, because you can see that a few of Athletic's counterattacks just don't add up because Suarez just doesn't have the legs anymore. And that's totally normal to accept, once again, given his age and the last year so he's been. I mean, I think Athletic knew what they're getting into. And of course, it was wonderful that last season he had a massive overperformance that guaranteed, Athletic a lot of goals. That said, I think there's also an element of him not trusting, the goal output. Because I'm not sure we've seen that often, Correa and Felix play together. But as I mentioned before, Felix on his defending is probably insufficient. Not that, Suarez especially defends a lot. And therefore, I think that he just doesn't trust them to create enough play. Which is, of course, sad, because I would be willing, to see more of the two, because I think they can complement very well. I also think they create chances in a very different way. But with that said, I assume it's that simply Simeone is not ready, to have such a dominant side on possession. Because I think the best way of having Kode and Felix is, of course, if you're going to have a strong midfield. And as we mentioned before, that's not exactly the case right now for Atleti. So I think it's that. But once again, it's very hard. And the question is, of course, what happens, once Llorente comes back, because I think he's still injured. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because I think if Llorente comes in, you have a very different picture. But without, because I think with Llorente, he'd be ready, you know, to sacrifice Soko Suarez and put him instead, because Llorente, as he showed last season, guarantees you a good presence. But with that said, I don't think that Cholo will continue to do that. But I don't think also he'll continue, you know, to have Correa Felix, for example. I see it as very unlikely. And as I said, I'm not sure myself, because as we've said, Correa, if you ask any fan, he's really the best, most consistent and best performing forward for Bar Carrasco, maybe. And the fact that today in modern football you need to have proper mobility is a really odd thing for Correa, because, you know, he's really set up perfectly in this team, to my sense, because he's leading transition in a very good way. So I assume there's something going on behind the scenes that fans just don't know.
Well, that will be left to be seen. Hopefully, maybe when Correa has left the club, I will see another documentary and maybe the truth is coming out. But at the moment, it seems Correa is going to be taking the super sub role, which I think most Atleti fans will agree that's a role which suits Suarez perfectly, given most of the games around the last 30 minutes of the game, so 20 or 15. Atleti are maybe needing a goal and opposition are sitting and you have a box present in Suarez. So moving on from that, we go now to talk about Atleti's rival for the top four. We have Betis, we have Villarreal. Villarreal won this weekend. You have Barcelona, we Atleti lost to. So talking about Barcelona, Juan, what's your take on Barcelona, on Xavi maybe guiding Barcelona to the top four? Is there any chance for them slipping up and Atleti coming behind them and creeping into the top four? Or they are just...
It's a very hard question, but I'm not... I think for the top four, I never doubted that. And I think it depends of, you know, how Real Betis will deal, because Pellegrini is known historically for being able to manage his squad very well. And now Real Betis will have tests, because I looked the other day at their schedule, and they're not having it easy, because they have the Europa League against Zenit, who have strengthened themselves with quite two good signings and still have Claudius in form. They have still, for example, I think Athletic Club to battle against. The next fixture is, I think, against Levante, so that should be fine. But they don't have an easy schedule. And I see it as unlikely that they'll stay as third. If they do, credits to them. I don't see it personally, I don't see it happening. I see Barcelona finishing third. But of course, I don't see them winning, surpassing Sevilla. That's a bit of a stretch. And on Xavi, as to my sense, as I've often said, Xavi's performing the way I expected him to. So that means, you know, does well in the beginning, then struggles, and now there's this game that pretty much is a confidence boost, and that, you know, against a respected opponent, which is a rarity in the last years for Barcelona. So I definitely think that it's been up to, you know, what's been expected. And for the top four, I initially would have always told you it's very tight. But the fact is that Barcelona now, with the certain signings, they have pretty much depth. And so it's hard to see, you know, for example, Real Betis, Villarreal, or whoever, Real Sociedad, compete against them. I just don't think, when you look at the squad, they're made to compete against, for example, Barcelona or Atletico or whoever. So I definitely think it won't be as easy. But I also think that there's no worries for Barcelona as of right now.
Well, hopefully the fixture congestion on the side of Real Betis can open things up for Atleti to maybe sneak in at the fourth position, because, like you said, Barcelona have reinforced this trainer transfer window and they have a lot more depth now, especially in attack, and they have a lot of mobility and movements. Well, look, all the teams in the race for the top four have fixture coming up in the European competitions. Atleti will be facing Man United, Barcelona take on Napoli, which is not really an easy opponent. That's after they take on Espanyol this weekend. For Villarreal, they are also in the round of 16 of the Champions League. So all teams fighting for top four have a lot of fixture condition, but with that of Betis who are still in the Copa, the race semi-final, and they take on Athletic Club. So, rounding up this podcast, we are going to be asking our guests some questions, testing his knowledge about Athletic. So, Juan, are you prepared?
I guess so.
Look, hopefully you don't give him some accents, okay?
That's a fine album.
Okay, so Juan, we are going
to... You might be putting out some obscure questions here.
Well, they are not. Okay, sure, he's a Barcelona fan, but I'm asking Athletic questions related to Barcelona. Is that okay, Juan?
I guess so. Do I have a choice?
Okay. Okay, Juan, so when was the last time Athletic beat Barca at the Camp Nou?
Wasn't that in 2000? Wait, no. Wasn't that last season? No, we drew there. Wait. So, I think it's 2006?
Yes, that's true. Where Enino, Barcelona,
exactly,
beat Barcelona.
So three-one. Okay.
Okay. So, well, so far 1-5. So the next question, Ali, Barcelona has gone 2 years without scoring a goal against Ali. So before the encounter on Sunday, can you name the last Barca player to score a goal against Ali?
Wait, can you repeat the question?
Well, I said Barca has gone 2 years without scoring a goal against. Sorry, Barcelona has gone 2 years without beating Aliti, and the last time Barca beat Aliti, can you name the player who scored the winning goal?
There was the 1-1 when we lost 2-1, and if I'm not wrong, it was on a penalty. So I think that was Messi.
Ah, that's easy. That goal is
gone. Yeah. Okay. So another goal.
So you have 2-3. Well, the next one might be tough because it's a little related. So who scored the opening goal for who scored the first goal at the Wanda Metropolitano?
For Atleti.
Yes.
Wait. Give me a second. Wasn't that Carrasco?
Antoine Griezmann against Malaga.
Wow.
Wow. That's 2-5. So the fourth question now is another easy one. When was the last time Athletic played in the quarterfinals of the Champions League?
The quarterfinals? That was 2000. That was last season, I believe, because they went out against Chelsea, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, that was in the round of 16, I think. Well, Athletic lost to Chelsea in the round of 16 of the Champions League.
So the round of 16?
It was round of 16, literally 0. Again, the last time was in 2000. The last time was in the 2019-20 season, which Athletic lost to Leipzig.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
When there was COVID-19.
Break. Oh, yeah. Now I remember. Yeah. Okay.
So, this one may be helpful to you, but I think it's an easy one for you. Who scored the winning goal? Who scored the goal that won a little La Liga in 2014?
Can you repeat?
Who scored the goal that won a little La Liga in 2014?
2014, right?
Yes.
2014. Now I have to remember even who was in the team.
It was at the Camp Nou, Diego Godin.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you have 2 out of 5. So it's not it's bad because actually the last guest we especially we had was a Liverpool fan, and I'm sure you know him. He had 4-5.
Wow.
So thank you for joining us on this episode, Juan.
Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to having you on for more episodes in the future. So Luke, thank you for helping me on this episode.
Pleasure as always.
Well, so guys, remember, never stop believing. Nunca dejar de creer, keep on supporting Athletic.